Thank you for listening to this teaching from the Prayer Room. For more teachings, notes, downloads, or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about who we are and our upcoming events, visit our website at theprayerroomdfw.com.
All right, well, this is session three of our series. The series is entitled Returning to a Devotional Life. And this third session I've entitled Enjoying Him Today. And we've been spending two or three sessions. Well, this is our third. So we've done two sessions on this concept of a devotional life and engaging our hearts in devotion. And tonight, my hope really, just the way that this lands, falling on the first day of the new year, is to kind of connect some ideas in our devotion. And really, I'm hoping, I'm believing, I've been praying that tonight would be an anchor for 2017. I love that song choice came up tonight, Tim, right on. That the Lord would anchor us tonight into this new year with just some truths, just some ideas, some encouragement, and some beckoning of the Holy Spirit to our hearts to continue to grow and go in a deeper devotional life. So the point of life, and this is not news for us, but it is the focus of this series and in many ways the focus of this church and so much of what we do, the focus of our life is to know Him. The lost world chases after so many different things, and at the end of their life, they show up before God, and they've got this long list of accomplishments, and maybe they really did some stinking cool stuff. You know, I mean, the guy who designed the Great Wall of China, I mean, he's got some pretty big bragging rights for forever, you know? Like, I did that. That was me. He couldn't have built the whole thing. It took a couple minutes to build that wall. But the point is, like, somebody designed that and got that on their resume, stand before God at the end of their life and go, look at that wall. I did that. You know, others have got some, you know, huge bragging rights, some big company, some this, some that, you know, even acts of service that they did. You know, I served the poor and I did this and I did that. And the Lord is, he's gonna measure every single person by, did we know God? And so all the lost immediately lose. They lose the game instantly. They show up before God and they've lost the game. They are called the lost because they were chasing after things and it was like they were lost in the woods their entire life. May it not be said of the church that we lived in a like way, that we were also lost or half lost in the woods in this journey called life. The point of life is to know God. And then when you know God, then some other stuff spills out that is also his purpose and his point in our life. But if we miss the first part, if we're distracted from the most important thing, then we're like way off. No matter what else we do, no matter what else we accomplish, the point of life is to know God. And as we know Him, there are things He wants us to experience. As we know Him, there's things He wants us to do, things that He wants to do for us, things He wants us to do for Him. But it all flows out of knowing Him. That's the point. And I think about the beginning of a new year, and you know, all the businesses, they've got their New Year's projections for what they're going to do in business. And, you know, churches have got projections of, you know, what they're going to try to accomplish, you know, in this next year. And us as individuals, there's some of that going on already. You guys have, you know, the New Year's resolutions and that it's a new year. What are we going to do? How are we going to spend our time and our life and our energy? But I just want to just plumb line us and I want to anchor us that the most important thing that we can do in 2017 is know God. It is the most important thing. It is our foundation. And this point of knowing God, it's loving Him. That's the point. It's not just that we would know about Him, know details about, you know, what He says, have the 200 facts that we can, you know, dig up. It's probably more like 2 million facts from the Word about who He is. But that we would love who He is. That we would actually engage this person, this man, in relationship, that we would know God, that we would love Him. And I want to give us just a very simple breaking down of devotion in this series we're doing called Returning to a Devotional Life. I want to give us the most practical, simplistic approach of breaking this down. Let's enjoy God today. And then when tomorrow is called today, because we got there, let's enjoy him today again. And in a week and in a month and in 6 months and in the day before next year, let's enjoy God today. Let's encounter him. Let's enjoy him. Let's reach for him. Let's make our life, let's anchor ourselves as people that know God, that love God. Let's anchor ourselves in enjoying God and loving him. You know what's so funny is when we're in different various human relationships, when you're enjoying that relationship, you invest so much more into it. Whether it's marriage or friend or family member or dog. I was helping watch my mother and father-in-law's dog this week and had so much going on, and I probably should have given a little bit more enjoyment to that dog. Poor Shiner over there. I rubbed her belly a couple of times, but that dog needed a little bit more attention because I'm not that invested in that relationship, if I'm honest. But when we're invested in a relationship and we're enjoying that person, they're enjoying us, we pour more time and energy and thought and attention into it. And so I just want to give us as just a starting point. If we'll learn to enjoy God today and tomorrow and the next day, I think that will fuel not just our devotional life, it'll fuel holiness, it'll fuel service to God, it'll fuel kingdom objectives. I mean, just so much will flow out of that. And so as we're doing this series on a devotional life, I want to break down devotion, the devotional side, the enjoyment, the ooey-gooey intimacy, I love God, God loves me. I want to break it down to the most simple phrase, enjoy him today. Well, this is a group that knows that concept, that lives that way in many respects. So I've got a verse that we're familiar with, but this is a room that knows how to taste of the Lord's goodness. Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Exclamation point. Oh, taste and see that he's good. Taste and see. It's this beckoning of the psalmist into devotional life of God. Taste and see. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. And that taking refuge is not unrelated to the taste and see. It's completely connected. That we taste of God's goodness, that we focus, that we give attention, that we invest in knowing God's goodness. And as we do, we find him to be a refuge. And that there's many blessings that come with the Lord being our refuge. Well, you know that. You could preach this message. But I want to look at tonight, and I want to say, let's realign our focus. Not enough to know. Not enough to know the truth. Let's realign our focus tonight. And I have just a couple of thoughts that I want to point out to us. That we want to have our main reason for existence, just focusing, a realignment tonight, that our main reason for existence isn't to accomplish diddly squat. Our main reason for existence, it's to love him. That's our main reason. There's secondary purposes, and those secondary purposes are real, but the main one is to love him. That's your main reason for being born and being allowed to continue to live. Your main reason. Again, I go back to the lost, and I'm like, they're missing the point of everything. Like, they're doing something and putting all their energy into something, and they're completely missing the point of life. The main reason is to love him. But it's easy to say that in a sentence, but it really requires some realigning of our thoughts, some reining in of our thoughts. You know, your mind is probably a little more keen than mine, but similar. I mean, we're both human in that regard. So reining in our thoughts. There are so many times where my thoughts are all over the place, and I'm wasting my life in my thoughts, in my brain, in my head. In my mind, I'm just having so many thoughts that are unhelpful and they're not focused on the Lord. I want to encourage us in this next year as we talk about realigning ourselves to be those that are devotional, that love Jesus and that are pressing in for a devotional life. Not that we read our Bible, we know God a little, but that we're growing and that we're maturing, that we're strengthening a devotional relationship with Jesus Christ. And as we do that, I want to encourage us to rein in our thoughts, to think about him, to not waste so much time upstairs in our mind having thoughts about all these different things. Begin to think on the Lord. Secondly, daily checking our motives. Why am I doing this? Maybe it's a big thing. Maybe it's a little thing. Maybe it's something you said. Why am I doing this? How does this really relate to my love for Jesus? Does it at all? Is this life that I'm living, is it just aimless? Am I just going through the motions? Let's check our motives and see, why am I doing that? Why am I going to church? Why am I driving across the Metroplex to go to church on a Sunday night? Why am I doing that? Ask yourself the question and allow your own heart to begin to answer. I'm doing this because I want to know you. I want to love you. And what happens when we begin to see the decisions that we're making, we begin to check our motives for why we're doing things, it allows us to even see some of our own sincerity and to realign that when we're doing the thing, that we're actually intentional to be connecting to the man. Instead of wasting it, instead of driving across the Metroplex, or instead of going to that job and just showing up, or instead of opening that Bible and kind of staring at it blankly, instead of just the blank version, the engaged version. I'm here. I'm doing this for God. I want to know you better through this. These relationships, I don't want to just waste them. I want these relationships to fuel my relationship with God. I don't want to just go through the motions. I'm doing this job so that I've got finances, so that I can be able to be a part of what God's doing in the kingdom. Why am I spending my time in this project? Where is my mind? Where's my thoughts? I want to engage the Lord. I want to use this life that God has given me to do that main thing. I want to encourage us. Because I think everybody in this room, if you like filled out the questionnaire, like, do you want to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? I think everyone would say yes. Like, I think you would answer yes. But it's not enough that we would say it. We've got to actually align our life to what we believe, to what we're reaching for. And we're going to do it imperfectly. I just want to do it better in 2017 than I did in 2016. That's what I'm after. And I want you too. You too. That's a fun thing to say. I might say it again later in this message. That was fun. Your tutu. I want for us as a church to be able to engage the Lord more in this next season. Enjoy the Lord more in this next season. Live out what we believe more in this next season. That's the hope. We looked at the verse last session in Psalm 27:4, and I just want to give us two words or two phrases out of that. Psalm 27:4, spent a whole session on this, so if this is a subject you want to look at, go back and listen to the MP3. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek, this devotional life of David coming out in this psalm, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Those two words, behold and inquire. To behold, it's going to take focus. To behold the Lord. This is David. He's saying, this is what I want in my life. This is what I really want to be about. This is how I want to spend my time. I want to behold God. To behold God, to behold his beauty, it's going to take focus. Because to behold God, more than likely, he's not standing in front of you. And if he is, please invite me over. In fact, let's call it sin. If God is standing in front of you at your house, and you don't call me to come over and hang out with you and God, you're in trouble. So more than likely, he's not standing in front of you. So to behold him, you're going to have to reach. You're going to have to focus. It's probably eyes closed. It's probably a posture where you're thinking on things above, where you're reaching. If you're going to behold God, you're probably going to have to go someplace. If you're going to behold him, it's going to require focused attention. I just don't want us to think we're going to grow in a devotional life casually. Accidentally. It's going to take focus. And if we're going to grow in that devotional life, we're going to have to focus and just use that passage, use that phrase that David said, to behold the beauty of the Lord. I want to behold. This is what I want to be about. This is what I want my life to be marked by. I want to behold the beauty of the Lord. And the second, to inquire of him, to inquire, it takes time. It takes time to inquire because he's willing to answer, but rarely is he willing to answer the first second. Can I get an amen? To inquire of the Lord, I mean, you could go and ask him the question and then turn around and run away before he answers, but that didn't do you a whole lot of good. I mean, if you came to God to inquire, to know him, to inquire of the Lord, to seek him, to know him, to hear his thoughts, to hear his ideas about your life, about you, about that person. If you came to inquire of God, if you came to get information from him, it's going to require some time. It's just you're gonna have to focus and stay focused for a minute. Times a minute, times some more, times tomorrow and next week. It's going to take some investment. I mean, if we're going to live a life of devotion, it's going to require some investment of time. And I just give you this verse out of Psalm 14:2, if we can put that one up there. Yeah, look at that verse. What a great one. The Lord looks down from heaven. His eyeballs, they're looking. He's searching. He looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. The psalmist here is really connecting the idea of understanding to seeking God. God wants to know if anybody really gets it. Is anybody down there paying attention to the point of life? The point of life is to seek God, to know him, to love God, to encounter God, to know him, and then to do his will. But you can't do his will if you don't know him, you know? And you will only do his will to the extent that you know him. And so he says, the Lord is looking. And it's like he's got to kind of squint to find somebody. You know, he's like, he's looking across all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who are paying attention, any who are seeking him. It's an active seek. This inquire of the Lord, it's intentional, it's time, it's reach, it's a focused gaze and a focused sitting before the Lord. I mean, these are verses you know, these are ideas you know. Again, it's not enough that we know them. I want to do them in 2017. I want to live it out. Well, if you needed it, and you may not. But if you needed a reminder, and you may not, I want to give you some practical ways to engage him. Some practical, helpful little tools for your devotional tool belt. They're ones that you probably know. But again, it's not enough to know. I want to be reminded, because at the end of this service, I'm going to have Tim come back up, if I can get him to, and lead a song or something. While we just like hunt out God and the plan for 2017. Like, what are you going to do to love Jesus more this year? And so as we're going to do that here in a minute, I want to give us some practical ways to engage him. Just talk about him for a couple minutes each. And let these be some things on the menu. You could look at this as a menu of ways that you want to reach for God more this year. Ways that you want to align your schedule a little bit more focused on him. Ways that you want your heart to be able to reach for God. And some of these will hit you more, and some of them will hit the person next to you more. So it's a bit of a shotgun approach. First, an idea. Start your day with thanksgiving. You know, you're going to get up every day until you don't. And when you don't, you have a lot more to be thankful about than we do right now even. But until you don't get up, you're going to get up every day. It's something that you can count on. You may not eat that day because of poverty or a fast, but you're going to get up. And so get up is a great jump starting point. Get up is something that's going to happen every single day of your life. And what better way to start your day than with thanksgiving intentionally? Intentional thanksgiving, intentional focus on God and then thank him for stuff. What a great way to engage. This is so devotional though. This idea of thanking God, because it gets you happy. You are now talking to God and you're happy. Some of our conversations with God are not so happy. They're complaining, perhaps semi-sanctified complaining, but complaining sessions nonetheless. This is a way to start your day every day with you, God, and happy. What a great way to start your day. Thanksgiving. Begin every day with a time of thanksgiving to Jesus for all the wonderful things he's doing in your life, all the ways that he's blessed you. This will cause your heart to connect with him. If you feel like you're having a difficult time connecting with the Lord devotionally, it's like, man, I've really kind of run out of things. I just kind of run out of juice. If you will start your day with thanksgiving, the first words out of your mouth, I mean, set it up. Set 5 minutes or, you know, that's the way that you know, do your morning routine or whatever. Set it up where you're thanking God. This will cause your heart to connect with him in an intentional way at an intimate level. It will bless you. It's thanksgiving. A couple of verses. Psalm 95, Psalm 91, and 1 Thessalonians 5. Look at these verses. Just talking about this element of thanksgiving. Let us come before the Lord with thanksgiving and extol him. Let us come to the Lord. So it's an intentional focusing on the Lord and then giving him thanks, allowing your heart to reach, because it's difficult to thank God in a real way, casually. Thank you, God, for my shoes and for air and for, like, you got to start thinking about stuff. Like, you got to engage your heart. Thank you, God. What am I thankful for? I'm thankful for my wife. Lord, thank you. And I don't want to just say wife. I want to thank the Lord for why I'm thankful for her. Lord, thank you for her, that she's so genuine and she's a hard worker. She's so faithful and loving. Thank you that you gave me this woman. Thank you. Like, that's great. To engage the Lord. Well, now your heart's happy, you're engaged. Psalm 9, verse 1. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. Tell the Lord back the cool stuff he's been doing in your life, your friend's life, in the Bible, in the nations, you know, in the One Thing conference, a testimony you heard. I mean, tell him. I will tell you of your wonderful deeds. You think he doesn't already know what he did? But it does something in your heart. It gets you all glad inside. And it's a way to connect with the Lord devotionally. Begin to thank him for all his wonderful deeds. And then, I love Paul just laying it out there, making it really clear. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. It's God's will in Christ that we all thank God all the time. And when our thanking tank is empty, when we've been really slack on the thanking, we're all funky and crusty. Like, we're supposed to thank God all the time in all circumstances. And when we do, it causes our hearts to be more glad. You know, I kind of wonder if maybe, like, the church in America in general has kind of gotten, like, a different version of this passage that says, complain to God all the time. Because that's, like, kind of more normal. Like, I think if you just, like, were able to assess with some computer, every believer in America, how much thanksgiving to God and how much complaining and grumbling and to God, like, I'm a little scared which one would be higher. But it's God's will for you. And so it's not just a good idea. This isn't just like a happy 2017 devotional life kind of a conversation. It's so much better. It's God's will for our lives that we would give thanks all the time. Okay, next point. So that was thanksgiving. You can write that one down. I got brilliant ideas, don't I? One word, thanksgiving. It's really simple. Next one, tell him you love him. It's important in all our relationships that the people that we're in relationship with know how we feel about them. We do that in expressions, and we say it. We say it with our lips, with our mouth. And I'll tell you that, at least personally, just as a little window into my life, this is one of my favorite things. I try to do it. I don't want to be like religious and routine about it. I try to do it a couple, three times, five times a day. Just when I think, oh God, I love you. I love you. I like to tell him. I like to tell him. It makes it feel more real to me. Because sometimes I just did something stupid. Sometimes I just said something I wish I could. Gosh. Is there a way to erase that text message permanently? If that shows up in a court, like, there are times, you know, where we've all got that, but I love to tell him I love you. Jesus, I love you. Father, I love you. I love you. Just say it, because you'll dial down, even if only for 3 seconds. It's 3 seconds you can take, any 3 seconds you like, every 3 seconds you like. It's 3 seconds. You dial down and you talk to an invisible man. And you engage your heart with that real God on the other side of the dialogue. Go, I love you. I love you. I love you. Thank you. I love you. I love to do this. I love this. This has fueled my devotional life for a decade or more. I love to do this. Psalm 18:1 and Psalm 116:1. It's just the psalmist just doing it. They're just going for it. I love you, Lord, my strength. I love you, Lord, my protector. I love you, Lord, my financer. I love you, Lord, my friend. Whatever, throw it in there. I love you, Lord. Just leave it at that. I love you, Lord. Psalm 116, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. I love you that you're listening to me. No one else listens to me. No one else cares what I think. I say stuff and people just look at me funny. But you don't look at me funny. You love me. I love you. Thank you that you hear me. Oh, guys, this is really good news. God hears you. Listen, there are times where your best friend who loves you, who would support you through thick and thin, is not listening to you. But God is. God is listening. I love you that you hear me, that you see me, that you know me. I love you. I just want to encourage you guys, a little devotional boost. Tell God you love him. Well, the next is like it, but it's even better. It's so good. Declare God's love for you. Say it. Say it out loud. God, you love me. This is powerful. This is reprogramming. This will do your hard drive a good bit of good to get a bunch of Bible verses, a bunch of God, you love me's backlogged, where you start to believe it, that God loves you. Look at all these verses, Psalm 13:5, 17:7, 23:6, 25:7, 31, blah, 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 blah. There's a bunch of verses. Look at them. Let's read them. I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices. I trust you love me, and that love never stops, even when I'm stupid. Oh, when I did the thing I shouldn't do. I trust in your unfailing love. I don't trust in my weakness. I don't trust in how dumb I am or how good I am, because both of those are subject to change. I trust in your unfailing love, not your unfailing forgiveness merely, your unfailing, I love you. I trust in it. It's a buoy. It's a strength to me. I trust you love me. Show me the wonders of your great love. Show me those wonders. Every day, let me feel that love, your love for me. You love me so much, you're doing things in my life. And those things that you're doing, it's not out of obligation. It's out of love. Those kindnesses, the things I just got done thanking you for, all the wonders in the earth, the fact of gravity, life would be pretty tough here, folks. You'd be burnt up in that atmosphere without a tether. Thank him for that gravity. He does it because he loves you, because he doesn't want you to be burnt up in the atmosphere. Air, friendship, food. It's because of his love. He gives us his stuff because he loves us. It's important that you connect the love dynamic. It's important that you say it about yourself. I'm loved by God. God loves me. I want to encourage you to start talking that way in your devotional times. God, here I am. I love you. And you love me. And I know it because the same Bible that got me the message of salvation tells me you love me. And it's truth. Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever, according to your love. Remember me, for you, Lord, are good. The Lord is good, so he loves me. This is wonderful news. I can bank how much God loves me on God's goodness. If God can be bad, then he might not love Brad. But as long as he does, I don't gotta be sad. The Lord loves us because of his goodness. He's good to the core. God is good. God is good. And his goodness is expressed every day in his affection for you. He loves you. It would be good for you to tell yourself this. God loves me. God loves me. Something bad happened today, but God loves me. I have thoughts I wish I could shake, but God loves me. I did this dumb thing, but God loves me. The love of God is based on God. On God. He loves you. It would be good for you to tell yourself that in devotional. Declare it over yourself. Just read these verses and go, well, you're stuck with me because as long as you're good, you love me. Congratulations, you got the short end of the deal. And I'm happy. You love me. I love you. And you love me. You love me. I will be glad and rejoice in your love. I'm going to have me a fat, happy dance about how much God loves me. I'm going to be glad. I'm going to rejoice. You can do this on your bad day. You can do this when you get fired at work. You can do this when the thing happens. Be glad and rejoice. In what? In the day? In how awesome things are? No, in his love. His love's not changing. It's not going anywhere. You know, part of the plan of Satan, can I just like get like super simple on demonology and like spiritual warfare? Satan hates everybody. He hates himself. He's just filled with hate, so he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And his greatest strategy is to get you to do something stupid and then convince you you cannot be forgiven. Then invite you to do something else stupid that was similar to the last stupid thing you did. And now because you're so filled with shame and unforgiveness and you've believed the lie, you are now tempted to continue down that journey again and again and again. And it's all a lie. When you do the stupid thing, when you have the ill thought, when you don't make the right mistake, when you totally blow it, when you kind of blow it, when your friend totally blows it, when you get in the accident, when the thing happens, God loves you. Rest in that. Reach for that. The devotional life that we are being invited into, it's based on his love, not how awesome you are. You're not awesome. I know you're junk. You're messed up like me. But it's based on God, who's not messed up, who has no junk. There ain't nothing in that closet. God is love, and he's inviting us to feel that love, experience that love for us. And it helps. It helps you get through the bad day. All right, so that one was declare his love for you. Pretty simple, but do it. You may feel silly the first few times, but you won't at time 100. Time 100, it will feel normal and it'll feel good in your soul. Do it. Begin to meditate on his word. The word of God, the Bible, it's the breath of God in the earth. When he spoke, all sorts of nothing became something. And it's written down. We're told that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. This word, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. This word, it's truth. It's real. It's his word. We want to meditate on his word. This is different than reading. Read too. Do that. That's great. Meditate. Take very small portions of scripture, a verse, a phrase, a word, and meditate. Say it back to him. The Lord is good and his mercies endure forever. Your mercies endure forever. Your mercies endure forever. What does it mean that your mercies endure? Endure, keep going. They keep going. Your mercies, good stuff. Being kind to me, you like me. Your mercies, your love, it keeps going forever. In a billion years, it'll still be going. Take a phrase, take a word, and meditate. What this does is it gets way deeper into your soul than reading. Reading is good and serves 10 purposes that are necessary, that are good. Meditating on his word does something different. It seeds deeper into your soul like an anchor. Look at Psalm 1:1-2. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night, who meditates. Blessed is the one that puts a delight in the Bible and then meditates on it. And again, you can't meditate on 7,000 verses at once. It doesn't, your brain, well, maybe somebody's brain. My brain ain't big enough to meditate on more than about 1.5 words at a time. And yours is maybe twice that capacity. So you're not looking for big bulks. You're looking for phrases. And the Word of God says, blessed is the one who delights in the words of God, in the law of the Lord, in the edicts, the decrees, the purposes, the nature of God, who meditates on it day and night. Maybe you take a verse a day or a phrase a day. I'm just going to think about it. It's not memorizing. That's something different. This is meditating. Just take it with you all day. Your mercies endure. Your mercies endure. You get done with the little conversation. You're walking to the next appointment. Your mercies endure. They're enduring right now. Right now, your mercies endure forever. It's at the dinner table. You're going to thank God at dinner, maybe? Lord, thank you that your mercies endure. It showed up again. You're meditating. You're taking it. You're laying on your bed at night. God, thank you. Then in a few minutes, I'm going to fall asleep. Your mercies endure today and forever. Meditate on it day and night. Next, pray in the Spirit. God gave the gift of tongues to the body of Christ that weary people could edify themselves by having the Holy Spirit pray through them, pray for them. It's beautiful. Look at these passages, Paul talking about the way that tongues works and how this can be a part of our devotional life. 1 Corinthians 14, 2 through 5 and 14 through 18. Paul says, for if anyone speaks in a tongue, he does not speak to people, but to God. So when you're praying in tongues, speaking in tongues, it's not about human beings. It's all about you and God. Indeed, no one understands them. They're talking like, I have no idea what that person, do you know? I got nothing. It's because it wasn't for us. It was for him. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves. This is devotional prayer life, 101. They pray in the Spirit and they edify themselves. Having a Holy Ghost party, just them and God are invited. And Paul says, I would like for every one of you to speak in tongues. He says, it's great. It's really good for your prayer life. It's really good for your devotional life with God. Paul says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. My mind is unfruitful. My brain stopped thinking. I have no idea what I'm saying. He says, but somehow my spirit is praying. My spirit, it's praying. So what will I do? Well, I'll pray with my spirit. I'll pray in tongues. But I'll also pray with my understanding. English, or for some of you in the room, maybe you got something else, whatever language you dream in. But for most of us, English. He says, I'm going to pray in my tongue, and then I'm going to pray in like my vernacular language. I'm going to do both. I'm going to practice both of those. I'll sing with my spirit. I'll also sing with my understanding. I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. Paul says, this stuff is rich. This is good for devotional life. He says, I am so glad I speak in tongues more than the whole lot of you. Because I know the mystery that when I pray in tongues, my spirit is edified. Paul went through a couple of rough spells. You guys read Acts? It's kind of messy. He fought animals and cold and hunger and all kinds of stuff. Stonings. He says, I'm so glad I have this gift that I can pray and have my spirit edified. I want to encourage you. Pray in the Spirit. Next one. Start praying the word. Not just that you would meditate on the word. I want to encourage you to pray it. I'm just going to read you a couple of prayers of the New Testament and how powerful they are that you can pray them for yourself. They don't have to just be Bible passages. You can pray them over you. You can make them your own. You can pray these prayers, pray these Bible passages over yourself, over your life, over your mind, over your family. It's powerful and it's devotional. It's sweet devotion. Because when you pray these things, your spirit engages with the Lord. Philippians 1, 9 through 10. Help me, I put that in there, to abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight so that I would be able to discern what is best. You want to know God's will? Pray that God would give you understanding to know God's will. Pray that you would be able to discern what's best. I pray this all the time. Lord, I don't want to make good decisions because good decisions still have consequences I'm not sure I want to own. I want to make the best decision, and then whatever the consequence is, I can know it was the right thing. God, fill me with your will. I want to abound in a love relationship with God where I've got depth of insight to know what's best for my life. That is great language. Tear that up. Use that prayer. Here's one to grow in God's love. Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. Out of your glorious riches, strengthen me, God. Strengthen me with power through your Spirit in my inner being, so that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith, that I be rooted and established in love. Give me power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love. Give me power to know this love. Give me power to know your love. I don't feel your love. I don't know your love to the depth I want. Give me power to feel it, that I might be filled to the full measure of God. And the last for maturity, this is what mature believers in Christ pray. It's a dangerous prayer. It's a good prayer. It's a devotional prayer, but it's a dangerous prayer. Hebrews 13, 21. Equip me with everything good for doing your will, and work in me what is pleasing to you. Work in me. Do stuff in me. Here I am. Here's my heart. Here's my life. Here's my thoughts. Here's my time. Do stuff in me that will make you happy. Turn me into that son of God, that daughter of the King that you want. Transform me. Work in me. Work. Labor. Do stuff. Hurt me. Work in me what's pleasing to you. These are great Bible verses to pray over yourself. This will fuel your devotional life. Tim, if I can have you come up. Spend just a couple of minutes here. I don't want to ignore his beckoning, and I believe something tonight. I believe this is true probably most of the time, and every time the Bible is preached, but I believe there is something, a unique grace. I just think there's something tonight. There's a little extra sauce on it tonight. That tonight, these Bible verses, these truths, this invitation, there's a power, I believe tonight, a beckoning, that if we'll respond, it'll be good for us. That he'll give us grace tonight. Just want to read this verse out of Matthew 13, 14 through 15. Matthew 13, this is Jesus. He says, I'm going to read this as a warning to us that we wouldn't fall prey to this, okay? It says that you would not be, is my take here, that you would not be ever hearing but never understanding, that you would not be ever seeing but never perceiving, that you would not be a people whose heart has become calloused, that you hardly hear with your ears, that you've closed your eyes, because otherwise, if you'd respond, you might see with your eyes and hear with your ears and understand with your hearts, and I would come and heal you. I don't want to be those that Jesus is rebuking tonight, that we hear the message again and again. We nod. Yeah, good Bible verse. That's right. I do want to have a devotional life. I know those things would be good for me. I know if I do those things, it'd be good in my soul. But don't do it. Hearing, but not responding. I don't want to be like that. I know you don't either. I believe God wants to give us grace tonight. This fact that a Sunday this year falls on the new year, on the very first day, it is an invitation for this next year to go deeper in God. I want us to seize the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. I want us to take the opportunity today. I want us to give him more time in 2017. I want us to give him more of our mind, more of our thoughts, more of our affection, more time. It breaks down to time. The 3 seconds here, the hour in the morning, the, you know, 30 minutes at lunch, the hour at night, the 10 minutes of Thanksgiving. It's time. I want us to give him more time. I want us to take the opportunity today, this passage in Joshua 24:15 and Deuteronomy 30:16. I think it's an invitation for us tonight. These two passages, Joshua 24, Deuteronomy 30. Choose today. Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. As for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. Choose today. Choose today to make 2017 a more intentional year in your pursuit of Jesus. Choose. Choose you this day. I command you today to love the Lord your God, and then you'll live, you'll increase, and the Lord your God will bless you. Love him more. Set your sights tonight on Christ. Here's what I'm going to do for the next 5 minutes. Get out whatever it is you write on, notepad in your phone, actual piece of paper, back of your hand, whatever you do. Talk to God about some stuff you want to do with him this year. Some new commitments. I'm going to spend more time with you in the morning. I want to figure out how I'm going to spend some time giving Thanksgiving in the shower every day or whatever. Like, do it. Let's spend the 5 minutes. Tim, you just play and spend a few minutes. Get real with God right now and talk to him about the specifics, the practicals of what you want to do in 2017 that's different, or it's a renewal of a commitment or something, of how you want to love him more, of how you want your devotional life to grow this year.
This concludes this teaching from the Prayer Room. For more resources available from Brad Stroop, or to schedule Brad or another TPR teacher to come speak at your church or event, please see our website at theprayerroomdfw.com. Thank you.